Okay, between 2004 and 2024, and the last episode actually went up to 2003. I'm not really sure why. 2004 was a bit of breakoff time. Anyway, Spain experienced significant political, economic, and social transformations, navigating challenges such as terrorism, economic crises, political fragmentation, and debates over national identity. In the previous episode, we talked about the previous 20 years or so, as Spain had consolidated as a democracy. Parties from both the political left and the political right had taken turns running the government, and after 1981, transitions of power happened without incident. For the first time in what seemed like a century, and I guess you could argue that maybe ever, in the history of Spain, full democracy moved ahead stably, and it lasted more than just a few years. In many ways, the country had caught up to many of its European neighbors. The myriad parties that we were left with during the 1970s had begun to sort of meld into two. The Socialist Party, known as the PSOE, or PSOE in Spanish, which had become sort of the left-wing party, the liberal party, the center-left. And then you had the conservative party known as the Popular Party, the Partido Popular, with the initials PP, which covered most of the center-right-wing section of the political spectrum. It wasn't a pure two-party system, since you had another more extreme left-wing party known as the United Left, and the regional parties, some of which were promoting separating from Spain. These were particularly influential in the Basque Country and Catalonia, and as a result, Spain as a whole. We also saw that the economy, despite its ups and downs, was going strong, making Spain's economy seemingly one of the healthiest in the world. The fight against ETA, ETA, the Basque separatist group, the terrorist group, though not completely over with, was nearing its end. Tourism was robust, infrastructure was improving, and Spain's prestige on the international scene had increased too. And the country seemed to be fairly settled and moving ahead. But things began to change, and Spain, for the next 20 years, up to about right now, while progressing positively, for the most part, moving ahead, entered a new phase of uncertainty as a result of a number of factors. Now, in 2004, the Spanish Socialist Party, led by José Luis Rodríguez Zapatero, known generally just as Zapatero, won the general elections just a few days after the tragic Madrid train bombings on March 11th, which claimed 191 lives. Zapatero was not expected to win that election, but after the terrorist attack, the Aznar government, which was in power at the time, was accused of trying to lie to the country about the truth behind who was behind this terrorist attack. And in just 3 days, that had a profound effect on the election results. And that is because the Aznar government initially blamed ETA for the attack, for the bombing, and stuck to that position, even though it became clear very early on that it was the work of Al-Qaeda. And the fact that the government seemed to be hiding this information in order to win the election, just angered the people even more. And that was a major factor in the surprise victory of the elections of 2004. Zapatero's government implemented progressive reforms, including the legalization of same-sex marriage in 2005, and a law attempting to bring some closure to the Franco period, known as the Law of Historical Memory, but it was also a very controversial one. That came in 2007. It was trying to address the legacy of the Spanish Civil War and the Franco dictatorship, but it brought in a lot of division. I'll have to tell you about that at a different time. During the first year, Spain's economy continued to grow almost exponentially up to about 2007, 2008. It was really going strong, but it was a very dangerous boom because it focused heavily on property speculation and uncontrolled building projects. So we had this huge bubble that was increasing almost uncontrollably. Then in 2008, we had the global financial crisis, which rocked many parts of the world, starting in the United States, and the setback severely impacted Spain, leading to a significant economic downturn and rising unemployment. And when I say rising, I mean shockingly high. According to official figures, out-of-work numbers peaked in 2013 at around 27%. You heard right, 27%. Now, bear in mind that in Spain, there's always been sort of fairly high unemployment rates for different reasons, which I'm not going to get into now. For example, a good unemployment rate sometimes ranges generally around 8 to 10%. But still, 27% is shocking, and it had a devastating impact on the country for a few years there. In 2011, general elections brought the People's Party, the Conservative Party, back into power under Mariano Rajoy. This time around, the Popular Party won the absolute majority. Rajoy led Spain through the sort of roughest moments of this great recession. Recovery was very slow, but it moved forward for the most part. His tenure focused on austerity measures to address the huge economic crisis. I mean, there was a moment or a few months there where it looked like Spain would have to be bailed out. So these were the measures they were trying to take to stabilize public finances. And it led to a lot of widespread public protests. These protests and controversies and frustrations also triggered a new political scenario. Discontent with the two major parties, the PP and the PSOE, led to the traditional two-party system facing challenges with the rise of new political entities. The political landscape became more fragmented, leading to difficulties in forming stable governments. The left-wing party, the United Left, kind of disappeared and then reappeared as a new, younger, hipper party called Podemos. That's a very simplified explanation there, because Podemos sort of started up from a different direction, but it took up what the United Left had been before. Podemos, or Unidos Podemos, translates as "We Can" or "United We Can," and that might remind you of the old Obama slogan, "Yes, we can." This party drew support from many more extreme left-wing groups, as well as voters of the Socialist Party. And I can personally vouch for even some former Conservative Party voters, too. I know people who actually voted for Podemos in those early months when it was just starting. They looked at it as something new, an alternative, something different. And for a couple of years there, it was very popular. It even threatened taking over the Socialist Party as the main party of the political left. Then you had the Conservative Party, which also faced its own challenges from within. We had a party called Ciudadanos, which translates as citizens, which for the most part was a centrist party, the political center, and it rose to prominence very quickly before disappearing almost as quickly. Anyway, these two parties definitely reflected the public disillusionment with the established parties. And more recently, the more extreme right-wing section of the Partido Popular has broken off and created under a new name called Vox, V-O-X, which is actually Latin for voice. And for simplicity's sake, it's sort of like a Spanish version of MAGA with respect to the rest of the Conservative Party. So even though Podemos and Ciudadanos have seen better days and to a certain degree have been reabsorbed by the major parties, Vox continues. There are still political forces out there. The result has been several years of administrations which have not had a majority, and they've had to strike deals with many of the other parties to form a coalition, and that risks becoming an unproductive government. And since 2016, we've also had some pretty crazy elections where no party has emerged as the clear winner, and therefore they've had to repeat the elections that happened in 2016, 2017, and then again in 2019. And then you even had the latest election in 2023. That was full of controversy because the party with the most votes and the most seats, the Partido Popular, was actually bypassed by the Socialist Party, who was in power, Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez, who made a pact with other parties in order to get enough votes to become the ruling party or to stay in power as the ruling party. But anyway, the result has been, as I was saying, since about 2016 up until now, some fairly weak governments due mainly to this fragmentation, which does add to political intrigue, that's for sure, but at times probably does so at the cost of efficiency. Other notable events that took place during the Rajoy administration included King Juan Carlos I's abdication in 2014 in favor of his son, Felipe VI, ushering in a new era for the Spanish monarchy. This took many people by surprise, but at first it was seen as sort of a way of having a younger generation of royalty take over to make the monarchy more appealing. Juan Carlos had also been hit by a number of scandals. Juan Carlos would actually leave Spain in 2020 in a self-imposed exile and stay in Abu Dhabi. Part of this had to do with a number of financial scandals which were dogging him and his reputation. This was a king who in 1981 had become one of the great figures on the international scene for quashing the coup d'etat attempt and defending democracy in the name of the Constitution, and he was hailed as a hero and sort of very much liked for many, many years. But in the last few years, he has fallen in disgrace. The end of the Rajoy's administration was marked by a standoff with the Catalan government and the most serious threat to Spain breaking apart. In 2017, the Catalan government held an independence referendum deemed illegal by the Spanish Constitutional Court. This was in response to conflicts that had arisen over the previous years regarding Catalan autonomy. On top of that, the Rajoy administration tried to block the referendum by shutting down polling stations and using security forces to clash with pro-independence supporters, which more than anything made the Rajoy government look very bad on the international scene. Then came a subsequent unilateral declaration of independence, which led to the Spanish government invoking Article 155 of the Constitution, temporarily suspending Catalonia's autonomy and imposing direct rule. Later on, a number of the Catalan leaders were found guilty of sedition and were given jail time, and that sparked major riots throughout Catalonia, but especially in Barcelona, for about a week or two. This crisis highlighted deep divisions within Spanish society regarding national unity and regional autonomy. In 2018, after continued economic woes, a tense standoff with Catalonia and political and financial scandals, a no-confidence vote by the parliament ousted Rajoy, and Pedro Sanchez, the leader of the Socialist Party, became prime minister, leading Spain's first coalition government since the restoration of democracy. Sanchez held elections the following year and was elected prime minister for the second time with the help of several other parties, which is what I was telling you about. The elections had to be repeated. Spain continued its slow but fairly steady economic recovery until the arrival of COVID-19 and the pandemic in 2020, which led to a six-week full lockdown of the entire country and a significant contraction of the economy, necessitating government interventions to support businesses and workers. So that hammered the economy for a little while. Anyway, in other areas, Spain has continued to make strides in social policies, including advancements in gender equality and renewable energy initiatives. And what else? Culturally, Spain's maintained its global influence in many ways, in the arts, in sports, and in cuisine. And then the big sport, football or soccer, has achieved international success. Spain won the World Cup for the first time in 2010 after many, many decades of suffering as an underachiever. And it also won the European Cup in 2008, 2012, and more recently in 2024. So it is now a true powerhouse in football. Spanish cuisine has become famous worldwide, reflecting the country's dynamic cultural scene. Tourism in Spain continues to grow. It's very, very big. Spain is consistently in the top three most visited countries in the world. Those cities like Barcelona have begun to suffer enormously from over-tourism, and there's been some backlash in the last few years. In the early 2020s, Spain faced challenges as political polarization and debates over national identity. The 2023 general elections resulted in a further fragmented parliament, leading to prolonged negotiations to form a government. This was very controversial. On the other hand, the economy, despite wars, inflation, and political uncertainty, is actually doing pretty well. It's quite healthy, and the country has managed to plow ahead. Throughout these years, Spain's demonstrated resilience, adapting to internal and external challenges while striving to uphold democratic values and social progress. But yes, the word uncertainty, I think, is the best way to describe the global situation of 2025, and Spain is no exception to the rule in this sense. But life goes on, as it has so many different times over the hundreds of years this country has existed as a nation and the thousands of years people have been living here. We will leave that one final overview for our one final episode, episode 50 of our series on Spanish History 101. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. Please leave us any questions or comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, and Castos, and you can check us out on our YouTube channel and subscribe. If you wish to support Brian's Spain Domain, we greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the very best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. Our podcasts are free so that everyone can enjoy them, but we welcome listeners to support us if they wish. They can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.